Welcome to What is Going Om for New Thought from the Edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgebeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgebeer.
Hello. If there's one thing that every member of the human race has in common, it is that we all want to feel connected to something. Yet, in the most connected time the world has ever known, many feel alone and disconnected, not just from their families, communities, and environment, but also from themselves, from their purpose, from source, and from each other. Daniel Bruce Levin is a renowned marketing and connectivity expert, a business leader, activist, speaker, and author. His latest book, The Mosaic, is an extraordinary tale that's being hailed by leading spiritual teachers and authors as a powerful, heart-expanding parable that focuses on what brings people together, not what divides us, and demonstrates that everyone is part of a coherent world, a mosaic of human beings in which each of us has a vital role to play. Daniel Levin works with governmental organizations, corporations, and businesses to improve how people treat themselves and each other. Sharing a message of unification, he's a popular speaker for groups whose focus is on problem solving, innovation, and conflict resolution. Daniel Bruce Levin, welcome.
Hi, Sandy. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. It's good to have you on the show, Danny.
It's my absolute honor, and thank you for having me.
Danny, your book, The Mosaic, is being hailed as a groundbreaking book in the tradition of The Alchemist and The Celestine Prophecy, which not only offers one wisdom lesson after another, but also invites us to see the world from a new point of view that focuses on what connects us to each other and brings us happiness. Tell us how The Mosaic came about. What was the inspiration behind it?
It's a fabulous story, and thank you for asking about it. Originally, I was planning to write a different book, and I had a muse who was just a beautiful, beautiful person. And this person just looked at what I had written and said, "This is a great book. The points that you're making are fabulous, but it isn't really you." And I said, "What do you mean? Do you feel like the points are plagiarized or what's going on?" And the person said to me, no, not that at all. But you're a storyteller. You've worked at Hay House for those years. And I know you know the self-help industry. So it's obvious you would want to write a self-help book. But that isn't you. You're a storyteller. Why don't you tell the story?" And I thought, hold it. But this is like my legacy. This is what I want to leave to the world, a story. And I fought the person for about a minute and a half. And then I felt their brilliance. And in that brilliance, there's magic in stories. Because the stories that we have are stories that we all have. And when we are able to touch on universal points, every single person starts to feel that we're talking to each other. And that's what happened.
It's interesting because every review I've read, the endorsements from so many well-known people all say the same thing. It's like, this is my story. I felt myself, you know, in these little vignettes, these parables along the journey that you're laying out here. It's a bit like the hero's journey, isn't it? It is universal.
Yes. Yes, and I can't tell you how humbled I am and how honored I am to be mentioned in the same 35 pages, let alone the same paragraph as the Alchemist is a marvelous wonder to me. And I had never even read The Alchemist. And when so many people told me it felt like The Alchemist, I went and bought The Alchemist and read it. And I went, oh, my God, this feels like the Mosaic. I mean, I didn't even realize that. And so it's an honor and a privilege to be able to tell a story that touches so many. Because when we think about it, If I can be really vulnerable with you for a minute, is that okay?
Of course.
Okay. The story only starts when we finish reading it. When we open ourselves up to what the mosaic is, it's this web of connections. It's one piece connecting to another, connecting to another, connecting to another, and it can go on until the end of time. And so what happens is each connection opens up another reality for us. And since writing it, my world has been completely a big upheavals, not necessarily in the outer world yet, but in the inner world. And I was sitting in meditation one day thinking, how is it possible that such a charming little story could have such a massive impact on me? And I heard back in my meditation, it wasn't even a good meditation. I was getting up to leave because I hadn't felt the depth that I normally had. I hadn't felt the peace that I normally feel. And in getting up to leave, the moment I got up, I heard this voice say, "Why won't it touch you? Everything in your life is a story." And I thought about that and I realized what is real for me. There's nothing real except the stories that I tell myself. My perspective of reality is my reality, not reality. The way I see the world is my reality. And the words that I use create the stories that I tell, and the stories that I tell create the life that I live. And so we really can re-examine some of the words that we say about ourselves, about the things we believe, about the way we want to deal with the world around. If we watch our words, we'll understand our stories. And if we understand our stories, we'll see that those stories can change the way we live our life. Just to conclude this little story, I sat the other day and had lunch with some people that are feng shui experts. And they were telling me they come into people's houses when people feel stuck. And they'll feel stuck in their business, in their relationships, and whatever it is they do. And they come into a house, and all they really need to do is move things around. Now, they're experts at moving things around. They know exactly what to move and what's blocking energy. But they move things around, and that feeling of stuckness leaves. So then I had this, I was speaking with them about places where they were stuck in their life, just mentally. And I said, gosh, that's what we can also do mentally, right? We can find the stories that are blocking us from living the lives that we want, and we can just move them away. And as often as they come back, we can just move them away again. And when we move them away, the beauty of our universe is that space abhors a vacuum. When there's space, the universe wants to fill it in. And so when we create space by moving our thoughts away, new thoughts start to enter. And when new thoughts start to enter, we have new possibilities. And if those thoughts limit us, move those away. And it's really, really such a simple, beautiful practice. And it really touched me.
The simplest things are the most powerful. I mean, we spoke earlier about the alchemist. You think about the four agreements. You think about some of the books that have had the smallest books, the simplest books, have had the most massive impact on people. And I think it's because, they get to the essence of what's true and what's real. And we know it. And we cannot help but be moved by that.
Yes, I so agree with you. And there were studies done years ago when I was studying psychology in college, and they had two professors teach the same class. One said it and said the lesson in the most obtuse, complicated format you could ever imagine. And one broke it down to the simplest, easiest to understand presentation anybody could ever have. And they had the students that took both those classes comment on who was the smarter teacher, who was the one that they would like to learn by, who was the one that gave the lesson more effectively? And 87% of the students commented that the one that was more obtuse was smarter, gave a better class. They couldn't understand it as much, but that's who they wanted to learn with. We love to complicate things. And the mind almost doesn't want to accept that it's so easy, because if it was so easy, why wouldn't we do it? We love to make it complicated and confusing and hard. And I even see that in some of the early feedback that I'm getting. When I send it out to publishers, they just said it's too simple. It's too easy. And the style of it is, but I just moved those thoughts away and I just kept going. And I thought, how beautiful.
Well, that's interesting you say that. I mean, you talk about publishers saying that it's too complicated. In fact, the publisher that you have is a publisher that has, you know, published some of the most profound, best-selling spiritual works that, you know, we've seen in the last several decades.
Yes, yes. And I feel so, here's Sandy, here's the most beautiful thing. When we get into the flow of life, when we don't disrupt that flow, when we allow ourselves to move with it, there's an ease to life that happens. When we fight it, there's a dis-ease that comes to the life that we live. And oftentimes that dis-ease creates disease. And there's a big place in me right now that wants to say things are so much simpler than we allow them to be. I myself spend so much of my time fighting things, making it so that I don't stand up for myself. Nobody will. If I don't do this, it won't happen. If I don't create this, it won't happen. And what the Mosaic is teaching me over and over again is if I can just relax, if I can get into the flow of what is, and I can just go with it, life is happier, life is simpler, life takes less energy to get further, and I am more content. I feel my heart opening up more. I feel my walls dropping down more. I feel the connections that I have with people going deeper and deeper. Not because I want to change them or fix them, just because I want to love them. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful way to live in ease.
Well, I think the simplest way to live is the most beautiful way to live. Certainly it's the least stressful. So let's talk about the Mosaic for a few moments. I mean, it follows the journey of Mo, a boy who loses his parents 2 years apart on the same day. And when he asks the adults where his parents went, they tell him they're in heaven. So he sets out to find the place called heaven. And along the way, he meets an assortment of ordinary people who actually are anything but ordinary, as, you know, all of us are anything but ordinary. Now, that mirrors situations in your own life. You lost your parents 2 years apart on the same day. Is Mo you?
Don't tell anybody. Yes. But this is my story, but I wrote it not as my story. I could have easily told my story, but I think when it's told as a story of somebody else, I've had people say to me, gosh, this sounds like my story. Yeah. Some of the characters are different. Some of the events are different, but this sounds exactly like my life. And so had I written it at my story, nobody would have said that. I one last little story for this segment. I was sitting on a plane writing the first chapters, and a woman was sitting next to me, and she said, do you mind me asking what you're writing? I said, no, I would love to share it with you. I'm writing this book. It's a fable. It's a story about a boy who loses his parents 2 years apart on the same day. And she said, could I read it? Could I read a chapter? I said, sure. And I said, she read it, and I said, how did you feel about it? She said, I wish you would have told me what more about what the character looked like, where he was from, what his life situation was. And I said, really? I said, why? I said, well, what do you think he looks like? She said, he obviously does not have dark eyes and dark hair. And I said, why is that? And she said, well, because everybody I know with dark eyes and dark hair would not be this person. So I said, well, then take that for a moment and imagine if I would have written it and filled in the characters and made him a dark-eyed, dark-haired person, you would have stopped relating to him. This way, you get to fill the characters in. You get to tell the story. You get to have no obstruction. So the magic of it is that you create the characters, because these ordinary people that I met are ordinary people that we meet, every one of us meets every day of our life, every moment of our life. We meet them in the grocery store. We meet them as we cross the street. We meet them as we go to work. We meet them in the Uber driver that we have. They are all, every one of them has a story that if they told it would be worthy of a multi-million-dollar movie.
Yes, it sounds as though that woman was actually trying to complicate things. Interesting to think, what was it she was looking for?
Yeah. We want the world to define our world for us. I love having a world that's undefined that we can create as we go along.
You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. My guest today is renowned marketing expert, activist, and connectivity expert, Daniel Bruce Levin. And we're talking about his latest book, The Mosaic, a magical parable with a profound message that invites us to find the unity and connectedness within the bigger picture of our lives. We'll be back with more from Daniel Levin after the break.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to OM Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos, A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
My name is Meera Batra, and this is How I Live United. Many families have come to America for a better life. I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to see opportunities available. We help them get involved with their kids, schools, and network within the community. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunity and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Daniel Bruce Levin, you walked away from an opportunity to run a business that is a household name in order to hitchhike around the world to find peace and happiness. For most of your life, you felt different. You saw things that others didn't see and thought in ways that were unlike the ways of your peers. You felt disconnected from everybody. You lived as a monk for 10 years. You left seminary one day before becoming a rabbi. You clearly have had a life that is full of searching and seeking. Have you found peace? Did writing the Mosaic, you know, become your, you know, what's the word? You know, the culmination of all of that searching for you?
Beautiful question. I have thought that over the 63 years that I've been alive, I have tried to live every day as purposefully as I could. I have always known what it is I came here to do, and I tried to do what I came to do. But it was really only 3 years ago, and it took me 3 years. I thought it was going to take me 2 or 3 months to write the Mosaic. Over the 3 years that I wrote the Mosaic, I now understand that every single thing that I've done to this moment has only prepared me for this moment. And I believe that's true for most of us in our life, no matter how high the highs and how tumultuous the lows. Every single one of them is preparing us for where we are and how we get to where we're going. And it's in this mosaic, in this peace that comes from the sense of connection. If I can say it really sort of tell a story, because I guess I am a storyteller. If you had a room in your house where one of the walls was only partially painted, and you were always thinking, I've got to finish painting that wall, and I were to tell you tomorrow that a wrecking ball is going to come and tear down all of the houses on the block, and your house will be torn down too, would you spend the evening painting that wall before it got torn down?
Of course not.
You answer like most people. Only on rare exceptions have I found someone who said, yes, I would. And I thought the same thing. I thought, why would I invest my time and energy fixing up a wall, fixing up a body, taking care of this person when it is going to disappear? In just a short amount of time, the wrecking ball of life is going to come and take me from this planet. Why would I invest all my time and energy in things that will be taken when that wrecking ball comes, as opposed to putting my energy in the connectedness with Source, in the connectedness with something that is more divine, that will never disappear? And I lived my life like that. And as long as I had that as my conclusion of my story, the GPS system that I navigated to get them that destination took me there, but it also took me through a lot of turmoil. It took me through a lot of pain in my body. It took me through a lot of mistakes that I made and decisions that I made, because I didn't think about taking care of the beauty of the house and the wall. I only thought about the destination. As soon as I understood, and this happened when I met a group of Tibetan monks. There were about 8 of them, and they had spent 3 months making a mandala out of sand. And they're all 8 of them worked probably 15, 16 hours a day making this mandala, gorgeous, beautiful. And I had come over the course of the 3 months, and I had sat with them, and I had watched them, and they invited me to come to see it when it was finished. It was exquisite. 15 minutes later, their Roshi walked in with a brush and just pushed his hand from side to side with the brush and destroyed the whole mandala. And I went to my friend who was the Buddhist monk, and I said, why? Why would he do that? I mean, you spent 3 months. And he said, go and ask him yourself. And he took me up to the Roshi. And I said, why? And he said, the purpose of our life is to create beauty every moment. It isn't for the beauty that it lasts. It's for the beauty of the moment that is. And that plagued me. It completely disrupted the way I lived my life. I couldn't figure out the answer to it until I realized just recently, because of a health scare, which turned out to be not real, that made me put a new destination into my GPS system. And the GPS now led me on totally different roads than the roads that I was living on, traveling on before. And it was effortless now to make changes that I could never make before. And pretty soon we're going to have automated cars, right? We're going to put our destination into the car, into the GPS. We're going to sit back and relax. We're going to have chairs that massage us in the car. We're going to be taken care of, and it's going to drive us exactly to where we're going. To get from where we are to where we're going is effortless, as long as we put the destination to where we want to go in. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It does. What I'm curious to know is, having grown up feeling so different and disconnected, at what point did that change? And did you become acutely aware of your connection and of our need to connect?
The mosaic did it to me. It's like in the 60s, and there was a show called Laugh-In. And mm-hmm. and the constant saying was, the devil made me do it. The mosaic made me do it. When I started writing this story, I sat down with my friend, my God, my spirit, myself, and I said to them, why are you having me do this? I am absolutely the least likely person to write a book about connectivity. I'm the least likely person to work with companies in connectivity. I'm the least likely. All I really want to do is become a monk, because my connection is one place. My connection is to source. And what the mosaic showed me is there are four different connections. Most of us think connection is from person to person. But we have to be connected to ourselves first. When we are disconnected from ourselves, when we don't take care of ourselves, when we don't treat ourselves well, when we're not kind to ourselves, what are we bringing to the connections we have? The second connection is a connection to source. When we realize finally that there's something, we're in cooperation with something much bigger than we are, and we can move through the world, but when we get into the flow of the river, we move into the world with ease. Source is that flow of the river. Source is the connections that we have with spirit or with something greater than us that allow us to feel the sense of I'm not good enough that we all suffer from. That's my savior now. I know I'm not good enough. But when source flows through me, there's nothing source isn't good enough for. And then when I live with that purpose, like I was saying about the GPS, when I know this is my destination, then that becomes the purpose of every action I take to get me to that destination. And all the battles become easy because my actions are purposeful actions to get to the destination that I have to go to. And then there's connection to other. So what it sort of said to me through this practice is, you just needed to get stronger in your connection to source. Now you know, now you're getting your connection to yourself. Now you're connected to source. Now you know your purpose. Now go ahead and build your mosaic. Now connect with other people, because your connections will be heartfelt, open, purposeful, loving connections with other people that are open, purposeful, loving, and connected to source.
And
that's when the world changes.
You have built your mosaic. I mean, you now, your work, you know, you work with government organizations, corporations, businesses,
yes,
teaching people how to improve, you know, the way they treat themselves and each other. Your message is one of unification. You speak about problem solving and conflict resolution through connection to one another. So it's completely turned around. Everything you do is about connection.
Everything. And so in this time and day and age, and I don't want to get political or I don't want to get anything, but if we look around the world that we live in today, one of the things that we see is just about everywhere we look, there's discord.
Yeah.
And in that discord, what we find is people are talking, but very few people are listening. And really one of the key points of connectivity is when we feel listened to, when we feel validated. You don't need to agree with me. When I know that I've said something to you and you've listened to it, you acknowledge it, you validate it, I feel connected to you. You have every right to believe whatever you believe. But in this time and this age, I watched an interview on the news, and it was with CNN and one of the Trump people. They both spoke the whole time. Neither one of them listened to each other. Neither one of them heard each other. Neither one of them acknowledged each other. All they did was yell at each other, one louder than the next. And I thought, oh my God, that's what we do in this world. That's why we have the discord we have. We have silos of like-minded people getting stronger and stronger, and the gaps between those silos getting bigger and bigger. And we wonder why we're disconnected. We wonder why we're fighting each other. That happens in families. That happens in businesses, that happens in government, that happens in nation versus nation. If we continue in the way we're going, we can see the results already. And it's not a world that I want to hand over to my children. It's not the world I dreamed of handing over. My goal is to create a new world, a world where we don't have to agree with each other, but we can easily and certainly listen to one another and hear what's saying. Because if you think about, for me, I hold the belief system that anything is possible. Anything's possible. The only reason something's impossible to me is because I don't see a way yet to make it possible. And as long as I stay in my silo where people think like me and talk like me and believe like me, I'll probably not see many things different from what people are saying to me and believing, because we all believe the same thing or similar things. It's when we can create communities of like and unlike minds, when we can listen to each other and see the different perspectives that people bring to the same situation. That's when innovation happens. That's when the impossible, suddenly now I start to have an idea that there might be another way to see this. And in the new way of seeing it, who knows, maybe the impossible will become possible. That's really the story that the Mosaic says in its charming little way. Mo meets these ordinary people, a garbage man, a street worker, a juicer, a gardener, not classic archetypes, but he sees when he sits with them and talks to them that he sees a completely new perspective. He sees their windows into his own spirit, into his own life. When we could sit with each other, listen to each other, we will show each other answers that we can't find on our own. And that's the work that I do with governments and corporations and families and people. And it's a beautiful work.
It's a paradoxical situation that, you know, we all want connection. We crave connection. We're built for connection. And yet we go through these cyclical periods, you know, through time, where we completely disconnect from one another. I mean, you think about the First World War, the Second World War. We hear, you know, that when people had this common enemy or a common goal, they were so much more open to one another. The barriers come down. And then as soon as, you know, we have so-called peace, we all retreat behind our own walls again. You know, why, what is this about humanity that we crave and want connection, and yet we push it away?
So I can only answer for myself, and if I can be vulnerable with you again, I'm a big, strong guy. I'm the type of guy that walks into the room and says, get out of the way, I'll take care of this. And yet, my heart has been hurt so many different times because I've trusted in people, I've believed in people. I stood up and gave my honest feedback, and it was either disrespected or stomped on, or somebody didn't like it. And I'm not saying it's anybody else's fault. It's just the stories that I made up about life. I've been hurt so many times that it's only natural that I would start to build walls around my heart to protect myself. And those walls, because I was ashamed that they were walls and that I didn't have the strength to stand up and be myself, I started to paint those walls and put storyboards on them that made them look like me, the real person. But they were just walls. And so is it any wonder when we try to connect with people and we have walls around us and my wall meets your wall, that we're disconnected? Because underneath it, I want you to see me, but I'm scared to death you'll hurt me. So until I can drop those walls and take it and stand with you, we'll never be connected. That's what this work is about. That's what the mosaic is about. It's about that moment when the mortar between the mosaic pieces dissolves and those two pieces become one piece.
Well said. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with connectivity expert, business leader, and author Daniel Bruce Levin about his new book, The Mosaic, which shows us how to look past all the seemingly segmented parts of our lives and shows us how to reconnect a disconnected world. We'll be back with more after this break.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Daniel Bruce Levin, someone has described the Mosaic as not so much a book, but as a movement. And I know that you have, I guess you'd call it the Mosaic method that you've developed, which incorporates four practices. Tell us about those practices and tell us how the Mosaic could become a movement.
Thank you so much. The practices are so, I love when a conversation comes sort of full circle, because we've talked about simplicity and the practices sound so simple. They really, really do. And some of them we've heard so many times. Suffice it to say, I'm still a little stuck on practice one. Practice one is be kind to yourself. And one of the things that we're creating right now is a wristband that says, be kind to you. And you'll start, and we're going to create a 21-day challenge with this wristband. And you'll put it on your left wrist to start. And when you find yourself being hard on yourself, saying, putting yourself down, I just did it now when I said I'm sort of stuck on the practice one. I would, you would change it from your left wrist and put it on your right wrist and start over at day one. We anticipate it will take a person about 6 to 8 months to get 21 days straight of practice, but it will make us aware of how often we're hard on ourselves when we really just want to be kind to ourselves. When I'm not kind to myself, and I'll give you a sort of an easy example. Sandy, if you and I were to take a walk and you would fall down, this is my promise to you. I would lay down next to you and make sure you're okay. When I found out you were okay and you were able to get up, I would help you up. I would stand with you for a few moments and hold you to make sure you were stable. And I'd walk with you for probably 10 steps or so until I saw you were walking fine on your own. And then I'd let you go on your way, but I'd watch you for another 20 steps. Now, watch what happens. If you and I were walking and I fell down, I would say, you stupid son of a gun. You're such a clumsy oaf. How is it possible? You're walking with this person you like and you just trip and fall down. What an idiot you are. I asked myself, why would I be so generous and kind and nice to you and so hard on myself? And that simple practice of being kind to myself allows me to do this. Imagine the attacks that I make on myself every single day. It's like if you would take your right hand and make it into a fist and try and punch yourself in the face, but protect your face with your left hand. And you would do that 100 times a day. You would start to see the reason why we put walls up. The reason why I put my wall up is I don't want to get hit by myself. Forget about you hitting me. I spend enough time hitting myself that I have to protect myself. When that wall's up, I don't have much chance to let much into the world or give much out to the world. I spend my life in protection. When I can drop that wall suddenly and allow myself to open up, the second practice comes into play, which is be vulnerable. Vulnerability has taken on a connotation of weakness. Vulnerability takes inordinary strength. Mm-hmm. It is one of the most powerful things we can do. When we're vulnerable, we allow the world into us and we give of ourselves back to the world. Vulnerability is that area of listening that I was talking about. When we put aside what we believe for a minute and we hear the world around us, because maybe there's a better idea, maybe there's a better thought out there, maybe the smallest person, the youngest, the freshest, the newest person to the company has a possibility of saying something and seeing something we've never seen and can share that with us. And when we're open and vulnerable, they have the place to share that with us. When we're vulnerable also, it allows us to get to step three, which is to understand and know our purpose and to live purposefully. Because now we are open to the world around us. We can hear, I don't know how many people I talk to, but I talk to a lot of people. And when I ask most of them what they're here for, the general response is, I don't know. I mean, I don't know why I'm here. I mean, okay, like, really? Like, what? Try again. What are you here for? Like, what's your purpose on being in the planet? I don't know, they would say. And so I said, imagine this. Imagine the possibility that nothing is duplicated in this world. Imagine your purpose for being here is so important that from the beginning of time until this moment, nobody has ever been created to do what you're doing now. And from this moment till the end of time, nobody will ever be created because you'll have achieved it. When would now be a good time to find that purpose out? And so when we start to live being kind to ourselves with kindness, when we're vulnerable and open, when we're purposeful now, because we know our purpose and we everything we do has our purpose is driven by our purpose, then the fourth step of the practice is to build our mosaic, to build our community, to build our team, to build our world. And remember, we want a world that includes unlike minds. So the movement that we're trying to create is a movement that everybody, we want everybody to be a part of it. And we want everybody to contribute a little bit. But I'm so tired of a world where people are selling things to people, where people are trying to fix people and change because they tell people they're broken. I'm tired of a vertical world where people are better than other people and are teaching other people, and people are weaker than other people and need to go to the people that are stronger to learn. I want to create a mosaic community where no matter what your piece is, whether it's small or large, whether it's sharp or dull, whether it's shiny or more muted, whether it's made of tile that's whole or tile that's broken, every single piece together comes together to create this extremely beautiful piece of artistry called the mosaic. We together can do so much more than we can do on our own. We know that. And so the community we want to create will have resources in it to help people find others that they can communicate with that don't think like them, that innovate with them. Because remember, we were talking about the way to make the impossible possible is to see things we don't see. Mm-hmm. Imagine being in a community where people speak without anger and listen without judgment. They listen, acknowledge, and validate. They don't necessarily agree, but they give us the space to say what we want to say, to be heard. I was just sitting with a person the other day, and she had such a strong desire to be heard that she's actually manifesting some disease because nobody's listening to her. And finally, when the disease came, everybody started to say, what's wrong with you? What's going on? How can we help you? What's happening? We don't need to get to that place. And so the community that I want to create will have resources in it, but it won't be people teaching as much as the opportunities to sort of be together and sit with people to share ideas, where everybody's a teacher and everybody's a student, which means nobody's a teacher and nobody's a student.
Mm-hmm. How will you put that together?
We're looking for people to help us do that right now.
How are you looking? How do people contact you? Are you crowdfunding this?
Excuse me, sorry. I have this terrible cough that is just springing up in me. We're looking for people right now and groups of people. The idea is that we want to charge a nominal fee, something like $1 a month, maybe $3, maybe $7. and the money will be used to help other people who can't be a part of it be a part of it as well. And if you think about $1 a month, there's not much it can do as $1 a month. But when we get to the place where we're 100 million strong or a billion strong, imagine $100 million a month. Imagine $1 billion a month coming in. We, in America, our Constitution starts with three words. We the people. We the people doesn't exist anymore. We the red people, we the blue people, we the hippie people, we the conservative people, we the immigrants, we the homegrown. We've segmented. We have to get back to we the people. And when we the people can stop fighting each other and start working together, like you said, around crises that exist, we come together. When we the people can come together and stop fighting, in a mosaic, not every part of every piece connects to every part of every other piece. All we have to do is find that place where we connect with somebody else. And when we connect, we create friendships. And when we're friends with each other, we give a lot of leeway for differences of belief. Because I know you love me and you know I love you. You're entitled to believe whatever you want. But when we're not friends, when we disagree, our disagreement takes center stage. So what we want to do is create these virtual places and these real places where people can come together on a very consistent basis. And they can innovate together. They can sit with each other and brainstorm and think about how to solve situations. Not with somebody teaching them, but someone giving a perspective tank instead of a solution tank, where everybody gives different perspectives of how they see that situation. And then we can take those perspectives and deal with it the way we want to. But imagine if we were having $1 billion a month coming in through this, what we could do, we could end problems that have existed far too long. There should never be anybody that's hungry. There should never be anybody that doesn't get good health care. There should never be anybody that's homeless. There should never be anybody that doesn't have food to eat or a job. There should never be anybody that feels like they don't belong in a situation. There should never be anybody without clean drinking water. There should never be anybody who has to sell their body to make a living. These are the movements. This is the movement that I believe will make us proud to be alive.
Well, this is a movement that everybody, I mean, $1 a month, $5 a month, everybody could contribute and be part of that movement. I just want to interrupt something here, because before we came on air, you mentioned something to me, you know, as a community, as a group of people, as part of the mosaic where we are all connected, you wanted to do something on air tonight. We're almost out of time. So I'd like to invite you to do now what you wanted to do at the beginning of the show.
Thank you very much, Sandy. What I'd like for everybody to do is just close your eyes for a moment and take an inhale and exhale, and do that one or two times, maybe three times, and just start to feel centered and start to feel connected. And what I'd like you to do now is start to expand that connection, particularly to the Carolinas right now. As we're speaking right now, they are in the beginning throes of a hurricane that can have devastating effects on their coast and on their way of life. It's one of the worst hurricanes that area has ever seen. And I wanted to just put our prayer and our intention as a community of people to let them know they're not alone. To let them know that we're here. To let them know that no matter what happens, we will be there for them. And now I want us to shift the energy from the people, and I want us to connect to the storm itself. The only reason a storm happens, the only reason destruction happens, And this was taught to me by my 29-year-old developmentally delayed daughter, is that she's not heard. When she tries to speak to me and I don't understand it, she speaks louder. When I don't understand that, she creates a scene. She throws a tantrum. When she throws a tantrum and that doesn't work, she tries running at me to try and bite me or tear my shirt. What I learned is that everybody does that. Nature does it too. When we don't listen to the symbols, signs, then what happens is nature has to create a situation. Ask nature what it wants us to, what it wants us to hear. And in your prayer that you can do after we finish here, listen for that so that the, and send peace to the storm. So the peace, the storm becomes less than it needs to be. Thank you for that.
Well, Daniel Bruce Levin, we are out of time now. I want to thank you for joining us today. Please, before we go, tell our listeners where they can get hold of the Mosaic, where they can learn more about you.
Thank you so much. The Mosaic is available on Amazon.com. Just look it up, The Mosaic Daniel Levin. And you can get a hold of me through my website, themosaiconline.com or danielbrucelevin.com. Thank you so much, Sandy.
Thank you, Daniel. Bye-bye. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. Thank you for joining me today. I look forward to being with you at the same time next week. Till then, it's goodbye from me.